Please turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I read verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And my subject tonight is witnessing to the world. Our work is a means for witnessing to the world. Just a few words of introduction before we dive into the text itself. And the question is, how do we deal or react or we respond when we face hard situations, when we face tough circumstances? How do we react? Or when you are going through a hard job, dealing with a very harsh boss, employer, what would be our reaction and response when we face such situation? And this is really what we are going to deal with tonight. What are the options? But what about when there is no option at all? The job is hard. You don't have any other alternative. You must stick to your job because you do not have any other option. So what to do? Should you or should I just continue to honor that unreasonable boss who exploits your finger to the bone? Should you do that? Just honor him. Just close your eyes and don't say anything and be pleased with the reaction and the attitude and the behavior of your employer. And knowing that some of them, as I said, they exploit you, even they take advantage of you and me, and take your ideas, and boast later as if that was their own ideas. It happened many times. So what would be our reaction in terms, again, as I said, our title is really witnessing to the world. So what would be our reaction in that situation? Should we give him a nickname? That happens also. We give him all the names known in the world just to reject him and show him our discontentment. But my dear brothers and sisters, the Bible, I believe, is very clear. We are to give a good testimony. No matter how persecuted, trialed, troubled we are to give a good testimony. And I have to say that injustice, persecution, tribulations in the Bible are not in small print. It is obvious everywhere. But as Romans 12 says, we are to overcome evil by doing good. And that is something you don't find in any religion. Even in the so-called moral religions, it is more about retaliation. It is more about vengeance. It is more about a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. That's the way the world functions. But as believers, Bible says we overcome evil by doing good. And this is something very important because our calling as Christians comes with high expectations. And you can see that just to draw your attention on one verse before we come to our text. Verse 21, look what it says there about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. It is a calling. It is a vocation. It is a ministry. So suffering, injustice, disappointment are a part of our daily calling as Christians. And it says in that verse 21, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And the teaching about our behavior, our demeanor, or our attitude in terms of regarding our relationship with our employers is not just limited or confined to Peter here. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and you can see how, I don't have time to take you to the verses, but just to name or to list a number of them for you, you can see how there is a clear harmony, a unanimity in the teaching of the Bible. You take it from the Lord in the Gospels, you take it from James, James chapter 2, James chapter 5, dealing with our employers. Then Paul has a lot to teach us about our attitude towards our employers. You take from Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Just a quick glance on those verses, you could see that the Bible gave us all what we need to do when we are going through hard times in our workplaces. So in a sense, we have been forewarned about the attitude that we will face in this world as we work with non-believers employers, and even with believer employers. So it doesn't matter with whom we are working, but this should be really our attitude when we face those tough times, hard circumstances. What to do? And my dear brothers and sisters, what a difference it makes when we know whatever we do, wherever we work, in what kind of studies we are, whatever we do it as unto the Lord to be a witness for him. It makes really a great difference. But before I come to verse 18, actually I have five headings, very simple headings, five. And Peter is giving us five practical commands. Five practical commands to, as a summary statement for our witness to the world, but also our social duties with the world. And as I have said, when I started this series on 1 Peter, I said, Inspiration makes a fisherman the most educated man in the world. Even the Greek text, those who read Greek will tell you that his Greek is sophisticated, perfect. And he gives us those five headings just to show you he's very orderly, very orderly. And here they are, just for you to print them in your mind. Peter is giving us all we need to know in relation to other people. How are we to relate to the world? And first, he will speak about the world. The second, he will speak about our relationship between one another in the church. The third one, how we relate to God. The fourth one, how we relate to the king. Verse 17, all is in verse 17. And the fifth one, how we as workers, we relate to our employers. So these are the five really headings for the lapse of our time tonight I would like to cover. But again, at the back of our minds, everything we do is to be a witness to our Lord. So this is really how we evangelize being in this world. And the first one, here in verse 17, Peter says, in relation to the world, he says, honor all men. And as you can see, the word men is in italics, which means really the Greek text says simply, honor all. All, without exception. And this is very important because it speaks about mankind in general. My dear brothers and sisters, as believers, we are called and we should honor and give a form of respect to everyone. Everyone in this planet, in this world, deserves a form of respect from us as Christians. Why? For two reasons, very simple reasons. The first one, everyone was created in the image of God. And the second reason, everyone really, you like it or not, is the object of God's love. So we honor all men. And may I say to you, I strongly believe in that, that the cross of Calvary honored all men. I didn't say that all men will be saved, but the cross is the greatest manifestation and the greatest expression of God honoring our world. Though we know not all men will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not all men will give honor to the Lord. Actually, most people in our world today, they dishonor the Lord. But we, Christians, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, if I could say, we have been given so much. We have common grace, we have special grace, and normally, because of all our benefits, profits, and advantages, we should be the people who honor other people the most, because so much has been given to us. But to honor all men doesn't mean we have to agree with all men. It doesn't mean we have to invite everyone for a cup of tea, for a handshake, or for a hug. That's not what the text says. But you see, we should never belittle non-believers. And you hear that some believers, even when they preach the gospel, the way they speak about non-believers, they belittle them. But we should never do that. And you can see, you go to some blogs on internet, you will see how some believers, they lash out and they insult. Actually, if I may say, they put off their gloves towards other people in social media, on their blogs, on internet, and so on. But we should never be cynical, skeptical, and morose about other people. Morbid, just seeing the gloomy part of other people. And Peter says, in our witness in this world, the first thing, we honor all men. And the word honor there is to value. And I gave you the reasons. Why do we value one another in the Church of Jesus Christ? Why do we value non-believers? Because they have been created in the image of God, and they are also the object of God's love. And God is making us to honor them, so through our lives, some of them will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, if there is any motto for myself, but I hope for each one of us, it is in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that the meek man sees and he is aware of his own failures and shortcomings. That's why we have to say nobody should have a high opinion about himself. That's what Romans 12, verse 3. Nobody, as a believer, should have such a high opinion about self. We should be the people who value other people the most. So that's really the first thing Peter tells us in our desire to reach other people. And the second one in verse 17 is now our relationship with the church. How are we to interact with the church? And he says, love the brotherhood. And I can tell you, this is the only place in the whole Bible that expression brotherhood is used. And actually, if I may say, it was for Peter, it was a neologism. A new word he fabricated. He coined that word, really, because it didn't exist before. This was not how people related to one another. The brotherhood. But remember, our first brotherhood, really, we are all sinners, as I was saying on Sunday. But the second one here, when we come to our relationship with one another in the church, is that we must love one another. It is a command. Love is our duty. Why? Because we have been saved. We are in union with Christ. We are in union with one another. We have been joined together. We team together in serving the Lord. That's very important. We are a fraternity, really. And love is the policy. Oh, may I make just one challenge here before I move on? Maybe somebody in our midst, in this local church, you don't feel loved. Oh, may I challenge you tonight. Take an action to love other people. How? Pray for them. Serve them. Bear their burdens. And extend hospitality to them. I can tell you, I listed only four things here. You do those four things. Later, you exercise them. You will see how much really you are loved. Nobody should be in the church. Oh, people don't love me. People don't. I'm not. We shouldn't fall on the ground to that level. Because we know from cover to cover, the Bible says we are to love one another. But I know 1 John 3:18 again, it says many times, we are not just to love with lips and the tongue. We are to love in action. Love is always active, never passive. Husbands and wife, always active, never passive. It's always doing something to express that love. It is a noun, it is a verb also, the word love. And the third thing Peter tells us is that we fear God. We fear God. My dear brothers and sisters, I hope you will agree with my statement that many things we fail and we fall into is because of that lack, that wantedness of love, of fear of God in our lives. But remember, we are speaking about holy fear of God. And there are so many proverbs, Nehemiah 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and so on. So many proverbs where it says the fear of God is so important. And without the fear of God, nothing will happen in a believer's life. The fear of God is our highest obligation. Why? Because God is supreme. He is our creator. He is our provider. He provided a redeemer for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to fear him. Do you fall in sin easily? Do you lie easily? Do you covet easily? The key, the heart of the problem, do you fear God? What do you watch? What do you read? What do you listen to? The fear of God will solve the problem, and the fear of God is the remedy, the antidote, and the solution against all our failures. You lack service? Oh, what's the problem? Do you really fear God? You lack keeping your devotions daily? Oh, the problem is there the fear of God in my heart? And my dear brothers and sisters, the fear of God here is in worship. That we should never come to worship the Lord casually. Because even like Moses, we should take off our shoes. Meaning what? We should humble ourselves. What does it mean to fear God? I don't want to detain you too long here. What does it mean to fear God? The first thing I believe to fear God is to love, it's to believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said in John chapter 17. What is eternal life? It's to believe in God and to believe in the one he has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to fear God is really to be appreciative, to be respectful, to be honoring, to be serving the Lord. That's really the fear of God. And my dear friends, may I say again that without the fear of God, no love. Without the fear of God, we don't honor anyone. Without the fear of God, deep things, great things can never be known. You see, we study the word of God. Why? We approach it with reverence. We approach it with fear. We do not understand it. That's why we have to pray. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit to explain these grand things to our souls. Otherwise, it will be like, just like reading another book. But we know when suddenly the Holy Spirit helps us, opens our eyes. No, the Bible is not like any other book. It is special. It is the nourishment for our souls. So, how do we relate to the world? We honor all men. How do we relate with one another in the Church of Jesus Christ? We love the brothers and the sisters. We love the brotherhood of believers. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Especially. See? And third, we fear God for our witness. The fourth one, very simple, is here in verse 17 again. Peter says, honor the king, honor the queen, honor everyone in authority, honor anyone who has a high position, teachers in the police, legal, judicial, and so on, military, everyone in position, fathers, mothers, and Sunday school teachers, pastors, and so on. We honor everyone. Seniority, age, that's really the idea. But you see, in the book of Acts, when Paul was speaking to the governor's name is Festus. He didn't call him by his name. He said, most excellent Festus. Out of respect, honoring the governor because of the position God has given him. So we do the same in our world today to witness, to be a witness to other people. But above all, I'm sure you will agree with that, above all, we honor the King of Kings. The King of Kings. You know, in Malachi, no time again to turn. All these, I hope, are things that are practical to our souls. In Malachi chapter 1, God said to the people, you say you love me. How do you love me? You love me when you are giving such a faulty sacrifice. You see, can we say that we really honor the Lord when we give wrong worship? When we give wrong sacrifice, when we give wrong stewardship, when we do not keep our appointments with him, when we do not keep the services in the church, do we honor him? Oh, that's a big question each one of us can answer deep down in his heart. But I must come to verse 18. So these are the four practical comments, and there is the fifth one. Now we come to in verse 18 where Peter says, servants, be subject or submit to your masters with all fear. With all fear. Now, Peter comes to a work situation. My dear brothers and sisters, can I draw your attention? Who wants to be a slave? Who? Who wants to be a servant in our world? And you know, you don't need me to tell you this. The words sacrifice, service, servant, obedience, submission are banned from the world vocabulary. These words are not, they are hated. And in our politically correctness today, servant, no. Don't be the doormat of anyone. This is the slogan in our world. But you see, you come to the word of God, the disciples, they were asking the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great among them? You remember what Christ said? Who is the great? The one who serves others. And you know that classic verse in the Bible, Mark 10:45, to memorize, good to memorize that verse. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. You see, we live in a world where people want to be served. They want to be served. But remember, before I come again to verse 18, that in the Roman Empire, there were many, many slaves. And some people think even that time, half of the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. And most slaves in that time were Christians. Christians, because of their faith, they were ostracized. And I can tell you, as Calvin said, they were treated lesser than animals. They were counted lesser than beasts. And that's why many, many Christians, we are speaking about New Testament times, many Christians died while they were still young because they worked so hard. They were mistreated by the people of their time. Who wants to be a slave? Who wants to be a servant? But you see, that's the highest position, the highest office in the Bible when you read the Bible. And this is really our calling, you and me, to be servants of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us is a master. Really, none of us. We are all servants. Now, as you come to verse 18, Peter says, servants, be in submission to your masters. And the word servants there is not our usual word, for slaves. It is a different word. And here the word really means domestic or home workers. And that's why from the beginning the church applied the word servant here in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18 for employees, workers in general. So that's why from the beginning I said this is about how we relate to our employers as Christians. But the second word which he uses there, servants, be subject to your masters. The word masters there is the word, we have it in English, is the word despot. Despot. By the way, God is also called in the book of Acts despot. But remember, just imagine a despot without sin, a despot blameless, a despot who has all wisdom. And certainly he will be the kindest king, the most gentle, the most benevolent king. That's our God. But here we speak about sinners, when a sinner is called a despot. And the other word is the word in verse 18 and 19, the word froward. We don't use that word commonly nowadays. But we have it in English also. It comes from the word scoliosis. You know, that illness which degenerates a person. And that's why the word there, it speaks about masters who are crooked, twisted, deceitful, perverse, unrighteous, and unstraight. They are not straight. That's the meaning of the word masters here. But let me come back to the submission. Peter says, be subject, be submitted to your masters with all fear. Meaning what? Oh, my dear friends, you have your boss, you have your employer. He is crooked. He is perverse. He is not straightforward. What do? Respect. Honor. Diligence. Patience. But our respect to him is never a robotic or a servile, mindless obedience. Never. That's why you are not to let your employer make you to do evil. No employer is allowed to make you, to lead you to a license of evil. And also, no employer is entitled to make you to say lies. I know believers who have told me, I work in a company, I want to resign from that company because the boss is telling me to tell lies to the clients. I will leave that job because Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, we are to reprove the works of darkness. That's what we are to do when it comes to those lies, and we are never to take part into them. So being subject is never a license to sin. We give our best to our employers, whether they are kind or evil. But remember, if your employer cheats you, Bible gives you ground to sue him. It gives you ground. But the law of the land also, that's why the authorities, we read it in our previous Bible study in Romans chapter 13, the authorities are put in power to do justice. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have obligations, but we also have rights. But let me tell you something. The gospel is greater than our rights. My dear brothers and sisters, we are never, and you find believers, I have met some, maybe not here, but some of them, it's all about my rights, my rights, my rights. You find husbands, my rights, my rights. Wives, my rights. Children, the same. And that should never be the case of a believer, because the gospel priority is greater. So Christian life is not just about enjoy, enjoy. What about endurance? What about long suffering? What about patience? What about perseverance? And all these things are explained to us in the Word of God. My dear brothers and sisters, are you better than the Lord? He suffered, so we expect no less. Please, time is almost gone, but look at verse 18 again. There is much, and here there is something positive. If you bear with me, there is something I believe positive said there. Yes, many of our masters are crooked, they are twisted, they are unfair, they are unrighteous, but Peter is telling us some of them are good. So it's not all putting everyone in the same basket. There are some, you can find a good master who is looking after you, who is paying you well, who is polite, who when you are not around, he is worried while you are not around, and so on. So there are good ones. Though my boss is not straight morally, though he is not a believer, because I fear the Lord, I will submit to him. You see the application? Because I fear the Lord, I will submit to him. And I have then nothing to fear, because I have a Christian attitude. My dear friends, can I put all these things together? How is our testimony with our employers? How is our testimony with the world? Serving the Lord, fearing the Lord, very important. Loving the Lord. Working diligently. Doing my work as if I'm doing it unto the Lord. That's what everywhere in the Bible it says. And then if I do that, working for the Lord, diligently serving him, having a good conscience. Verse 19 and 20 says, having a good conscience. Your conscience, a good conscience before God and before man, then I have nothing to fear. And that is our motivation. And in verse 19, very quickly, verse 19, look how it begins, the verse 19. For this is thankworthy. And the word thankworthy there could be replaced with the word, this is a grace given to you. Let me read it for you. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And look at the end of verse 20. I'm just comparing. I won't dwell long there. In verse 20 it says, this is acceptable with God. God accepts that. If you do it that way, with your conscience clear before God and before man, it is a grace, but God is also happy about it. God will reward our witness even when our employer never say thank you. Work to adorn the gospel. That's what we do. In our work we adorn. We embellish really in our work the gospel. For men to see it. So our life and work should never be characterized. Or should be characterized really with honesty, integrity, reliability, trustworthiness. These are elements our employer should see every day in our work. And we do it as unto the Lord. I know you will say to me, you don't understand how hard it is to cope with injustice. Oh yes, it is very hard. Even myself, in my, deep down in my heart, I'm saying, why others are allowed to murmur, they are allowed to complain, they are allowed to strike, they are allowed to have a demonstration, but I'm not allowed to do that. But you see, my friends, the Lord gave us the example. Look verse 19 again. It is really a clear verse. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And in verse 21, which we read earlier, for even whereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. He gave us the example. Oh, my dear friends, we are to be mindful of the Lord. For the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. That's the leitmotif, really. The chorus throughout these passages. For the Lord's sake. Whatever we do, so that we bear that good testimony. Have we sought guidance in our employment? Or we should? It's not just to enjoy it, but we seek the Lord and we depend on Him. No suffering will match what the Lord has suffered. And He suffered. Look at verse 23. When He suffered, He threatened not. He was silent. But let me, before I close, just to say that Christ's sufferings, though He was silent, it was never passive. Never passive. Look at verse 23 where it says how He reacted. In verse 23, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself to the one who judges righteously. He committed Himself. He dedicated Himself. He gave Himself to the one who judges righteously. My dear friends, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. From them all. Let me close with verse 20. Because in verse 20 it asks a rhetorical question. What good there is, what glory there is in suffering unrighteously? You have done something bad and you are suffering for it. There is no glory into it. There is none. But we walk in the steps of our Lord. That's very important. In verse 20, as you can see, Peter says, for what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if, the contrast, if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. It is acceptable. God will reward it. And as I said, God will reward your witness. Even if your employer will never say thank you to you. But God will reward. All as His servants, we suffer unjustly. But to suffer unjustly as the Lord's servant is never a mistake. Unless you brought the trouble upon yourself, or I brought that trouble upon myself. But nobody will suffer for the Lord pointlessly. Because Christ did not suffer pointlessly. How did He suffer? He suffered on the cross. And in verse 25, I close with that. Verse 25, Christ is described there as our shepherd and our bishop. So I can cleave to Him. I can depend on Him. I can trust Him. He is my shepherd. He is also my overseer. His smile, His wonderful smile, is not just for my well-being. It is also for me to witness before the unsaved ones. Our witness before the Lord. In Psalm 123, it says, and it is really a motto after this Bible study, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their master, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He has mercy upon us. Our eyes are looking into the hands of our master, ready to serve Him, ready to witness for His cause. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless His word in our hearts tonight and make us to be worthy to be his ambassadors. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 502. Hymn number 502.